Amen.
God bless you all. Nice to see everyone.
Amen.
Of you here. And the folks that are online. Can't see you, but I'm glad you're here too.
Amen.
I'm excited tonight. A little bit. May not show too much.
Right.
Now it's beginning to show a little bit. All right. This is something that's opening up. Okay. And something that's exciting to me. And I'm trusting that when you start to catch this, you may get a little excited yourself. We're going to start in 1 John and give this a foundation. 1 John chapter 3. And I just love this because I was talking to a gentleman today. I give thanks to the Lord. They gave me a job offer at Zero Risk. So I'm back to full-time employment. So grateful to the Lord for His provision in every way. And back at Zero Res, I'm out back in the churches again. And I was talking to a gentleman in a church out in Long Lake, and he said, well, I don't know too much about God. He said, I like coming here. It's like it's a woman pastor, but she preaches, and she says, she tells me how I should live my life. And I said, well, I go to a church, it's an independent church. He's like, are you one of those, what did he call it, Bible bashing fundamentalist church, something like that? And I said, well, some people would call us that.
Yeah.
And so he said, well, I come here because, I feel like this woman pastor helps me get close to God. And what I told him was, you know what? I disagree. I mean, I told him, this isn't going to be very professional. He said, but I disagree with women preaching. And he said, oh, well, why do you think that? I said, well, a couple of places in the Bible. I said, but that's not important. And I think we should all get to this place. I said, if this woman is truly saying something that's getting you a step closer to God, then I'm all for that. You know? Because it doesn't matter how the gospel is preached. It matters that the gospel is preached, and those that are predestinated, and this is what you're talking about, Brother Don, will hear the word, and you're not relying on Brother Don or me or a woman preacher. That word, if there's seed there, is going to bring out that life. And that's what we're looking at. Okay? But we need to establish this in the foundation, and if you want to stand with me for the reading of the word, we're going to find it, because it says in 1 John 3:16, hereby we perceive the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, we ought also to lay down our life for the brethren. And the Bible says if any man's religion is just in words, okay, and isn't taking care of each other and isn't taking care of the sick, that man's religion is vain, because the whole point of Jesus was to bring us to a place of putting godliness into action in the world. Amen? Putting godliness into action. So it says, whomsoever hath this world's good, and seeth his brother in need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby shall we know we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. And he said, you know, that's kind of harsh. And John was the apostle of love. And he said, you know, if you get to that place and you realize you haven't been living up to that life, your heart may condemn you for this thing. But he carries on and he says, for if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you tonight, if what is being said tonight starts to condemn your heart, that's a good sign, because God is greater than your heart, and He's just trying to bring you up to a higher level. Okay? So we take this in the context. Amen. I see you smiling, Brother Don. That if condemnation comes, that's fine, because God is greater. then your heart, and he is going to bring you through. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love, your gospel. We thank you for the opening up that you're giving us in this day. Lord, let us put into action in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may take your seats. Ah, praise God. This is exciting. I want to speak of the covering of glory. Ah, the covering of glory. And it comes from some Bible studies we've been doing. And just, okay. Let's look in, let's start in Genesis chapter 3. Scribbles all over Genesis and Revelations, but it's good. That's your seed and that's your, everything begins there and starts there. But we're going to look at something in the beginning. And we know this story, very well. We're going to take a few, verse 7, it says, the eyes of both were opened. And they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And talking about a covering, they made themselves aprons. Why? Because they knew they needed a covering. Right. They knew they were naked. They could see something in the physical realm that said, we need to do something about this. And the world is full of people that recognize there's something wrong with me, and I need to do something about it. I need to put on a face. I need to put on a covering so that people, I'm protected from people, because if they saw what I was really like, they wouldn't like me. They saw what I was really like, they wouldn't want to be my friends. And so they put, everybody has a covering that they put on, and a physical covering, and we wear clothes as a physical covering. And Adam and Eve needed that physical covering, and they recognized the need for the physical covering in the presence of each other. On that human level. And I want to start making a distinction tonight, right at the beginning, between saying there's this human physical level that we live in, that we dwell in, and then there's the spiritual world that we should be dwelling in. That is more real, that is the real place, and we're in the shadow place, and we're focused too much on the shadows of this world. And Adam and Eve were focused on the shadows of this world and their nakedness in this world and covered themselves until the presence of God came. And God didn't condemn them for putting fig leaves. God wasn't the one that said, those aren't good for you. Adam and Eve recognized that as soon as God came down, they were like, okay, this was sufficient covering for us between ourselves. The fig leaves were okay between ourselves, but as soon as God came, and they heard, verse 8, the next verse, and they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God among the trees of the garden. So that physical covering, when the presence of God came, they recognized there's something lacking in that. Why? Because it covered them physically, but in the spiritual realm, they were still completely naked, and God was there, and they knew God saw primarily in the spiritual realm. And we need a covering. We need a covering. We need a covering in the physical realm, but we also, more importantly, need that covering in the spiritual realm. And so this is what God did. God comes down, and he brings down his judgment, and he talks to Adam, and he talks to the woman, and he talks to the serpent, and the judgment comes down. But we find in verse 21, now comes a different kind of covering. And this is amazing. Who brought death into the world? Okay? What was the cause of the first physical death in the world? It was God himself. Okay? Listen. Unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Yeah? Why? Because he said, I have a need for you to be covered in the spiritual realm, and I have a need for you to be covered in the physical realm. You have a need to be covered in the physical realm. Don't take this wrong. I mean, lots of people take things I say wrong. Okay? Don't take this wrong. God doesn't care what clothes you wear. All right? He cares about you being covered in the spiritual realm, not in the physical realm so much. That's not important. That's just a, how shall we say, it's just a byproduct of what happens in the spiritual. And we can see this. And we know Brother Branham had that vision. It's a wonderful vision. And he said, there, here's the slap, slap. What is it? It's the bloody skin of a sheep covering Adam and Eve as they're walking out of the garden in mourning. Okay? They're covered in the physical realm by the skin, but they're covered in the spiritual realm by the blood. And now they have an effective covering in both realms. You understand? Okay? God's not so much concerned about what you wear in this realm, because what you wear in this realm could be just a covering between yourself and everybody else around you with absolutely no spiritual application. You understand? Okay? Because that's what happened to Cain. We read on into chapter 4. Now you think about it, and this just still amazes me. By faith, Abel. What was the faith of Abel? The faith of Abel was that he and Cain were raised side by side as brother and brother. And Adam would have told them why we're out of the garden and would have preached to them, this is where we need to be, and would have told them the story of, hey, and God killed this sheep and covered us. Okay? And Adam said, and now I'm killing a sheep. You think Adam did different clothes to God and covered his little boys with sheepskin as well? They had clothes. Alright? And they both heard that message. And they both heard how God cast them out of the garden and said, by the sweat of your brow will you eat bread. And Cain said, the most important thing for me to do is to show God I've been following his word. I've been sweating. I've produced so much that I can feed myself, I can feed my parents, I can feed my family, and I can bring the best of it to God. That's how hard I've worked. That was the message that Cain understood. But Abel, by revelation, saw something else, and he said, the most important thing for me is when the time comes, I got to have my own sheep. I got to have my own covering in the spiritual realm. So Abel became a keeper of sheep, and Cain became a tiller of the land. But they were both have been clothed when they came before God. Clothed in what? Sheepskin. Who killed it? Probably Adam. Not before God as a sacrifice. So Cain comes and he has a physical covering that's identical to Abel's covering and identical to Adam and Eve's covering. But it's only a physical covering, and God is looking for something in the spiritual, and he says, I need to know that you've identified something in the spiritual needs to be covered. And Cain was like, look at all these pineapples and melons and all this good stuff I'm giving you. See how hard I've been working. And Abel came with the sheep and said, here's my sacrifice to cover me in the spiritual realm. And God said, that's what I'm looking for. It's not about what you're wearing. Identical clothes on the outside. It's about, do you have that spiritual covering? The blood. That's why everyone has to have your own individual relationship with God. You can't have it through your daddy. You can't have it through your mummy. You can't have it through your pastor or your church. You can go to church and you can look very nice. And you can even wear a tie. No ties here tonight. Okay? That's your covering. But if you don't have that spiritual level covering, you're as good as naked before God. Who cares what clothes you wear on the outside? In fact, it's better for you not to wear those clothes if you don't have that covering, so at least you recognize that you're naked and say, I still need help, rather than, I have a nice suit on. I'm covered. Amen. Well, like I said, if your heart condemns you, if you find this hard, that's okay. If your heart condemns you, God's greater than your heart. All right? Don't worry about it. Seek God, and he'll bring you through these things. All right, so there's a covering according to God's law, and we have a question. Now I want to bring out the glory aspect. And the glory aspect of this, here's the question. How close Can a man get to God under that covering? How close do you think it'd be possible to get to God under that covering? Enoch? Okay. He's not the one I'm thinking of, but that's a good one. All right. Here's what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of Moses. Okay. I'm thinking of Moses, who went up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights under that kind of a covering. He lived in the presence of God. And then he came down and he broke the tablets. And then he went up on the mountain another 40 days in the presence of God. And he came back down, and you know what happened to him? His face was shining. Okay? He got so close to the presence of God, so intimate with the glory of God, that he actually came down the mountain and he shone. And the children of Israel were scared and they ran away from him. Okay? And he had to call them. And he had to say, come over. And he had to put a veil on his face so that they wouldn't be afraid. Now, isn't that something amazing? That you can get close enough to God under the covering of blood of bulls and oxen to be translated, but also to live in the presence of God for 80 days and come out with your face shining, with your skin shining, transformed. But, but who was greater than Moses? Let's turn to Luke chapter 8 and find out. Sorry, Luke chapter 7. All right. In the messenger, verse 24, and the messengers of John were departed. He began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out to see? Man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea. I say unto you, and much more than a prophet, this is he of whom it's written, behold, I shall send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Ah. Amen. John was greater than Moses. Why was John greater than Moses? Okay. We know it wasn't for the miracles, but now we're going to start to make a division here. Remember, we're talking about a physical level in this world, manifestations that we can see, touch, smell here. And we're talking about a spiritual world, manifestations that are important to God, but maybe we can't see them. Maybe we don't know. Okay. Maybe we don't know what that's all about. But those are the ones that are important to God. And John came and he didn't do any miracles. He had no manifestations of God's power in the physical realm in the way that we think, oh man, he's a prophet. Look at the healing lines. Look at the miracles. Look at the axe head floating. Look at the fire called down from heaven. Wow, what a great prophet. Excuse me. But that wasn't what made John great. What made John great was his closeness and his introduction of God in flesh. And God said, I got a job. You know, I'm going to come on earth. I'm going to need a herald. I'm going to need someone to announce. Okay? I need someone to lead the children of Israel out. That's a good job. That's a worthy job. Okay? I need someone to correct Ahab. Oh, that's a worthy job. That's a wonderful job. But I need someone to be my herald to announce my coming. And I'm going to pick the greatest prophet to do that. Okay? It's like, can you imagine if you were in the queue in heaven and you're like, okay, volunteers for this job, you know, volunteers to sit in the slime pit, Jeremiah, you know, and he was thrown in the dung pit. Who's volunteering for that job? It's like, no. Okay, volunteers to part the Red Sea. Well, I'm sure I'd love that. Volunteers to announce Jesus, like, that's everyone's hand goes up. And think about it. The greatest prophet that ever lived had a ministry of 6 months. And that was it. Ha! The greatest prophet that ever lived didn't do any miracles. The greatest prophet that ever lived, wow, his ministry had nothing physical about it, but it was preaching the truth and introducing the truth in person. Oh, wow, isn't that wonderful? Jesus wasn't looking at physical manifestations to say John is the greatest. He was looking beyond into the now. We're going into that spiritual realm and saying, in that spiritual realm, John's the greatest. And there's no question about it. It's not even close. But then he said, but he that's least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Why? Because there's a new covering coming. And that new covering was, you must be born again. You must have the Spirit indwelling in you. God is going to come and actually live in you. Alright? Spiritual realm, physical realm. So, now we have a new question. Okay? We followed that track of the blood of bulls and goats. Now we have a new question. Under the blood of Jesus Christ, how close can a man get to God? How close can a man get to God? Alright, Brother Greg says that, one with him. And is that more glorious than all the miracles, than coming down out of the mountain with your face shining? Is that more glorious? Is that the covering we look? But here's the problem. The problem that we have is, how are you expecting the glory of God to be manifest? How are you expecting it? You're a son of Adam. You're a daughter of Adam. This is true, unfortunately. And you have the same character as your father. And that means that you naturally look to the physical. You see? You look into the physical realm to see the power of God manifest. But we should be looking for the spiritual realm. Yeah? Yeah. Because while Adam and Eve looked at the physical and gave themselves an acceptable covering in the physical realm, God looked to the spiritual and gave them an acceptable covering in both realms. Okay? Cain looked at that physical covering and assumed that it gave him spiritual covering as well, but it didn't. Alright? Which is why God isn't interested in the covering. Let's turn to love this psalm. 51, I believe it is. Yeah? Yeah, that's the one. You like it too? Uncle Paul likes this psalm too. Alright. I don't know if anyone else. Maybe some other people out there like it. Okay. Well, we got a little bit of time. Here we go. Have mercy upon me. We read it from verse 1 because I love it so much. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, because God is greater than the heart that condemns you even way back then. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before thee. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Well, what about Bathsheba? What about Uriah? What about the children of Israel that had to go through the wars and the judgments because of David? He's like, no, I didn't sin against those. I sinned against God. Interesting, isn't it? That thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, in sin did my mother conceive me. Did we talk about sin? Yeah, we talked about in the Bible study, sin. Alright? You know what sin means? Where the word sin comes from? Okay, it's a Greek archery term. Okay? Mr. Mark, what does that mean? We're going to have to do this with like a Nerf gun sometime, bring the kids up here and... Alright? But I didn't bring my Nerf guns with me. But this is a target. Okay? And this is the mark. Alright? So, Brother Greg, military trained man, okay, do you think you could hit the center of that target from where you are? Depending what you have. Well, what do you want? An arrow. A bow and an arrow. You couldn't. Timothy says he could. So, well, you were nodding. Okay. Oh, sorry. You don't have a bow. All right. But here's the thing. If you stand at the back of the room and I gave you a Nerf gun, all right, Brother Greg, could you hit with a Nerf gun? Maybe. You could concentrate. Josh, from where you're sitting, could you think? Josh is three rows back, four rows back. No? Probably not. Peter, do you think you could hit the middle with a Nerf gun? What do you think? Maybe not. Uncle Paul, you're...
He could, but you'd have to get out of the way.
Okay, he could, but I'd have to get out of the way. But here's the point. Sin. You can concentrate all you like. You can focus all you like. You can aim for the target as best as you can. All right? But if you hit here, instead of here... Mm-hmm. Sorry. You're a sinner. You understand? Okay, so sin isn't doing something wrong. Sin isn't intending to do something wrong even. Sin is saying, I'm going to try my best to do exactly the right thing and missing it by a little bit. Sorry, you sinned. You missed the mark. All right? So when David says, in sin did my mother conceive me, what's that mean? Is he saying, she went out and she played around with someone else other than her husband and she was, you know, going to bars and this is how she, David was conceived? No, he said, there's a perfect way that you ordained for people to come to this earth and I was born outside of that perfect way. So I already started not dead center. I already started missing the mark even before I was born. Okay? So this is sin. So it doesn't matter about your intentions. If you do something that isn't perfect, you're a sinner. If your heart condemns you though, God is greater than your heart. And the whole plan of God is to say, okay, it's not about how much you try. It's not about how careful you aim, how much you concentrate when you loose that arrow, how close you get to the center of the target. That has nothing to do with it. It's my grace here. That I'm going to take this and I'm going to say, I'm going to count this for righteousness because of your belief. Yeah? Oh, that just, you know, and you young folks, you know, you've not been out in the world, you've not been... You've not been like smoking and drinking and running around. At least I hope you haven't. You know, some of you are too young, but this is where you need to understand this is your sin. Okay? It's not saying, oh, you know, I killed somebody, I went out and I was smoking and I swearing. It's like, no, if I miss the mark, that's where I'm sinning. That's why I'm a sinner, because that's all that means. Sorry, distraction. But God's word is full of distractions. That's why Brother Don takes so long to do all of his sermons. Amen, Brother Don? But every distraction is good if it's from God's word. Amen? So, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin. Blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness. Deliver me from being a murderer, because that's what he was. O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open now my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Now, David, now we're getting into the covering and the spiritual side of it that David saw very clearly. Okay, listen. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. Yeah? It's not going out and doing something in the physical round and killing a beast and offering the blood that would make David acceptable to God. That's not what God desires. He says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, that thou wilt not despise. Now it's something, first of all, in the spiritual. And he says, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, build thou the walls of Jerusalem, then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, and with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings, then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. You see what David did there? He says, you're not pleased in that physical act of sacrifice. The sacrifice of the Lord is in the spiritual, and then you'll be pleased in the physical. Okay? Just like baptism. Repent and be baptized. How many people are baptized without repenting? You know, and what they say, you go down a dry sinner and you come up a wet sinner. It's like, oh, praise the Lord, I got something. It's like, well, yeah, you got wet. Okay? Because that physical act is not important in comparison with the spiritual. But when you have the genuine spiritual, the physical will follow. Okay? So let's have a look at Hebrews chapter 9. Well, hold on a second. I missed something. Let's just start in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Because now we're getting into really what I want you to understand here. Okay? So, Paul speaking, he says, God has made us, who has made us, from verse 6, able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, the law, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, it's in the physical, the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of debts, written and graven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away with. Moses died, Moses sinned. Moses isn't here anymore, and the law that brought him before God to make his face shine is not here anymore either. It's done away with. It's the Old Testament. We're living under the New Testament. So it says that's the glory that comes, that's the pinnacle of glory that we see under the Old Testament, is Moses with his face shining and a veil over his face. It says, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? So there's another glory that we're looking for. But it's not in the physical, it's in the spiritual. And we need to recognize what is it that we're looking for in the spiritual. Because if we focus on the physical, we'll end up shouting, doing miracles, covering ourselves like Cain covered in a physical religious spirit. And God will be like, I never even knew you. You never connected to me on that spiritual level. Everything that you did was in the physical level. It's fig leaf religion. Okay? It's a covering that you think is acceptable to you. And, oh, Brother Nate, you should see the miracle. God bless you, Brother Nate. You did amazing miracle. And Brother Pete, let me tell you how God answered my prayer, and I prayed for this little girl, and suddenly, you know, she wasn't a cripple anymore, and signs and wonders are following me, and God is like, okay, that's fine, but that's all physical. It doesn't speak to anything spiritual. It's the covering. That's why you got to have the spiritual first. That's why, Lord, Lord, didn't we do many works and that? Depart from me. You had everything in the spiritual. You used the power of God, but only in the physical. You had nothing in the spiritual. You're following me. Are you following me? Am I making sense? A little bit. Well, okay. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, so the law had a glory, much more doth the ministration of the righteousness exceed in glory. So there's something more glorious for us under this ministry, the Bible ministry, the New Testament ministry. Okay? For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. All right. For if that which is done away with is glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. So there's more glory. Seeing then that we have such a hope, what's the hope? That we have a ministry, we are entering a realm where we're going to have more glory, there's more potential for the glory of God to be manifest than Moses. Okay? So if I say we have the glory, it's not we have the glory, but the glory of God is flowing through us, in made manifest in us, in a way that's more powerful than it was made manifest in Moses when his face shone. Okay? So what is the glory of God that's going to be made manifest more powerful than Moses when his face shone? More powerful than crossing the Red Sea? More powerful than healing the sick? What is that glory? We should be searching for it. Okay? He says, and not as Moses, which put a veil on his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end. We're going to start to get and see this. He's saying, okay, but their minds were blinded, for unto this day remaineth the same veil taken away, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away with in Christ. Amen. So there's a veil that allows you to see this glory, this spiritual glory, and the veil is the physical. And if you can't look beyond the physical, you can't see the glory that God has for you. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. But listen, nevertheless, it shall turn to the Lord when the veil shall be taken away. Now, how does he finish that? He says, now the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with an open face, no veil, behold, as in a glass, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So what's the glory? It's the image of the Lord. It's the very Lord himself made manifest again in a physical body. Are you following me? Okay? It's nothing in the natural. It's nothing in the physical that we should be looking for. Those are just side effects of what's going on in the spiritual. If you're going to follow after the physical and wonder where the signs and wonders are and start searching for the signs and wonders, you will find them. But if you start searching for the physical, so for the spiritual, yeah, you will find the spiritual, you will find it, and signs and wonders will follow. Okay, just as surely as when God said, I have to cover you with the blood of a sheep, they had a physical covering as well as a spiritual covering. Okay? So, if your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. We're looking for a spiritual covering first. And our covering is the blood of Jesus Christ. And now we're going to get down to a real exciting, condemning, scary thought for us. A challenging thought. Alright? How do you tell if the blood of Jesus is effective in your life? Or if you're just using the blood of Jesus as a covering in the physical, but never reaching into the spiritual? Because you can do that. Okay? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Wonder-working power in the blood. Amen. There is power in the blood. And you can take that power and you can use that power to do amazing things. Okay? But I never even knew you. Yeah? Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Now we're going to get to the real crux of the matter. Where the glory of God is. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers, once purged, would have no more conscience of sins. Okay? You understand? Now, so here's the challenge now. Do you have conscience of sins? Because if you have conscience of sins, you're going back to the Lord Jesus and saying, Lord, forgive me my sins. Forgive me my sins. Forgive me my sins. Forgive me my wrongdoings. I'm not saying don't do that. Do that. But you understand, you have not been purged. You are using, and excuse the crudeness of this, but you are using the blood of Jesus Christ like the blood of an ox or a sheep or a goat to cover your sins. Wash me from my sins, Lord. Wash me from my sins. I sinned. Forgive me. Okay? That's not a bad place to start, but that's Old Testament thought. You understand what I'm saying? That's Old Testament. Where are we heading to? Listen. Alright? If those offerings were perfect, they would only be offered once, and the worshipper would only have to offer them once. Because then they would be purged. But in those sacrifices, verse 3, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Therefore, he saith when he cometh into the world, and you know, this is amazing because it's just written in the scripture, and I'm like, how come I never saw this before in this way? It's like, it's right here. Okay? It's not possible. Wherefore, when he cometh, he saith to the world, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. We're back in Psalms 51. It's not about the offerings, it's about the heart. Above, when he said, sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure in them, which are offered by the law, then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. So he taketh away all the sacrifices, that we can do his will. By the which will we are sanctified, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Wonderful. We are sanctified one time for all. And every priest standing daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after that he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God, expecting henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering, and we've talked about this, hath he perfected forever them that are sanctified. Okay, there's a perfection, there's a sanctification. All right? There's an ongoing process. But the ongoing process, yeah, is meant to end somewhere. He has perfected. That process ends in the perfection. Okay? Whereof the Holy Ghost is also a witness to us. For that after he had said before, this is the covenant will I make with them in those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts. In their minds I will write them. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Well, now where no remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Okay. Here's the point that I'm wanting to make. If you still have consciousness of sins, you have an area where the blood of Jesus Christ is not effective, because he's come to purge you that you would have no more consciousness of sins. You understand what I've said? I'm going to say it again. If there's an area in your life where you're aware, where you're conscious, where sin calls to you and troubles you, and you have to continually go and repent and repent again and repent again, you have found an area in your life where the blood of Jesus Christ is not effective. It's not in effect. Because if it was in effect, he didn't come to take away this sin today and this sin again tomorrow and this sin again tomorrow. He came to take away and to change your heart, to change your mind, to purge you, to put you in a place where you fulfill the law, because it's written in your minds and you don't even think of sinning because it doesn't even tempt you. It doesn't enter into you in any way at all. Why? Because the blood has purged you one time. Are you following me? So you can apply the blood of Jesus in the physical realm. Oh Lord, please forgive me what I did. Please forgive me what I thought. Please, in the things that you can recognize. I'm not saying don't do that. But if you're doing that, it means you haven't reached into the spiritual realm where the blood of Jesus is so effective that it purges you once forever. Lord, take that out of me. And Lord, replace my sinful life with your holy life by the power of your blood. And now we're in a place where you can love your neighbor as yourself, because nothing else is in your mind to do something different. Where you can turn the other cheek, because to you, that just seems like, that's what I should do. It's not like, oh, you hit me here. Go on, hit me here. You know? Oh, I'm going to resent you, but I'm going to turn the other cheek. Yeah? Because then what you're doing is you're following the law in the physical. You have a physical covering. Oh, Lord, I had a good day, Lord. I turned the cheek. You know? I turned the cheek. Yeah, we're getting to, I did this, I did that, I turned the cheek. But the manifested glory of God by this covering in the spiritual says, I didn't do anything. It wasn't, you know, there's a story of a rabbi who had some students. And they asked him a question. He says, and they said, what does it mean to be content in your life? And he said, to answer this question, you need to go and talk to this other rabbi. So they went to the other rabbi and they said, what does it mean to be content? And he said, well, I don't know. I mean, I've never really had any problems in my life. So I couldn't really tell you what it means to be content in, you know, in trouble and in problems. And he said, and the students went away and they knew the truth, because they knew that that rabbi they asked the question to had had a very troubled life by all physical appearances. But he got to the place where all those troubles didn't mean anything to him, because he was living in a spiritual and the physical didn't mean anything. It was just natural to him to say, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't do anything. God happened to be there, and I just happened to be there when God was working. I don't know what happens. It's nothing to do with me. I'm just being totally natural. Okay? But if you've got conscience of sins, and if you are struggling, and if you're praying for forgiveness, okay, don't stop doing that. I'm not saying stop doing that. I'm not saying, you know, go and wear whatever clothes you want. Struggle. Fight. But you can tell when the blood of Jesus is effective, when the struggle is over and you're resting and you don't have any more conscious of sins. And you're not tempted to do the things that you used to do because God has completely removed them from your life. And now, this is the greater glory of God. A greater glory than was manifest with Moses, because now, just naturally, nothing to do with you, you're living your life naturally, and naturally you're living God. You are manifesting God. You are preaching that sermon because the things that you do are coming from a place that's just so much you, and it's just so much God. And that's what he came to do, to make you God and to join you as one being, as my Father and I are one. Even so, you and I will be one. You understand? So the whole point is, there's a covering in the physical. It's not important. There's a covering in the spiritual. That's important. Don't be applying the blood of Jesus Christ down on this level. Yeah? Apply it on this level and you'll apply it here. But if you apply it down on the physical level without applying it on the spiritual level, you will always be stuck in your sins. Okay? And you may be saved and God may be greater than your hearts, but you will never get to that place of oneness until this physical life is over. So it's a call for me to say, okay, there's a one-time sacrifice for sins. There's a one-time doing away with the consciousness of sins. Okay? And we are perfected, but we're being sanctified to the point of being perfected. So while we're being washed in the blood, we haven't... It sounds kind of, I don't know the words to say without people being like, oh, there goes Derek again. While we're being washed in the blood, we haven't had effective blood of Jesus in our lives. It's not as effective. Sure, it's washing away your sins, and it's washing away your sins, but it hasn't changed your consciousness. And that's what we're looking for, is to apply the blood of Jesus Christ in such a way that it changes our minds to the point where we manifest a greater glory than Moses manifest. And what's that glory? As the Father is in me, I will be in you. And you're walking around and you are Jesus Christ in your kitchen. You're Jesus Christ at your workplace. And you don't even think of being anything else because there's nothing else in there, because that one-time sacrifice has been effective for you. So it's been challenging for me, very challenging. Thinking about these things, okay? Thinking about these things and saying, man, how have I been applying the blood in my life? Like the blood of bulls and goats, Lord, forgive me. Oh, I believe you forgive me. And carrying on in those same sins and repeating that same pattern of behavior. Why? Because it's still inside me. It means I haven't gotten rid of it. That means I haven't applied the blood of Jesus Christ properly. Because when I apply it properly, and when it finishes the work, I'm not going to have any more consciousness of those sins. That's, hey, alright, may sound crazy, I just read it to you. Alright? It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. And it challenges me. And it condemns me. And it says I haven't been living the right kind of a Christian life. Yeah? Which is where I go back to where we started. If God, if your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. Because if you see those areas where you're still living in your sins, you can pray forgiveness for them every day and God will forgive them every day because of the blood of Jesus. But unless we can get from this spirit, this realm of flesh into that spiritual realm, it's not, we're not using it like it was sent for. You understand me? It's sent for something. Okay? It's sent for something. It's like, I don't know. If you needed money to pay your rent, I hope you'd let somebody know, okay? Because we want to help. right? And if I sent you, or Don sent you, that money to pay your rent, do it with an open heart, give and ask not again, and then the next week you come to church and you got a new iPhone or you got a new car or like, oh, that's wonderful, you got a new car. Like, yeah, I still need help with my rent. You're like, you know, that's what, not what I gave you that money for. It wasn't to, for you to enjoy. It was for you to spend on the necessary things. Okay? So, the blood of Jesus Christ is sent to us for us to spend on the necessary things. And the necessary things aren't forgiveness of sins. The necessary things is changing your mind into the mind of Christ and purging your conscience from sins so that you don't even think the way you used to think, so that sin doesn't even enter into your life anymore. And that's why the blood of Jesus Christ is so powerful. So I challenge you today to look at your life and say, where and how are you applying the blood of Jesus Christ? And what effect is it having on your life? Are you looking for healings? That's not what the blood of Jesus Christ was sent for. It wasn't sent to heal your physical body. It was sent to heal your spiritual body. That physical stuff is just a side effect. Praise God for the side effects. But if you're spending the blood of Jesus Christ on side effects, you are not treating what Jesus did properly. Do you understand? Okay, and I know there's a place for healing, and I know there's a place, and by His stripes we are healed. And thank God for by His stripes that we are healed. Okay? But He sent us that we could have life and life more abundant. Okay, where are we looking to apply the blood of Jesus Christ? Dear Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. Yeah, I can do that. Dear Lord Jesus, I am not manifesting You in this world the way You said that I would manifest You in this Bible. Why not? How am I using the blood of Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to see these things. Help us to apply these things. Help us to use the blood of Jesus Christ the way You want it to be used, for its best and highest purpose. And not, Lord, for our vain ideas of good living and feeling comfortable with ourselves and feeling forgiveness from sins. Lord, change our hearts. Purge us. Bring us to that place where You want us to be. Because that's why You sent Your Son. If I've said anything wrong, I pray You'd forgive me and let it come to the light, Lord. But the words of truth, let them sink in our hearts. Let them change our lives, Lord. Purify us. Make us vessels of Your Holy Spirit, living for You. You living in us, as You promised. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You want to come up? God bless you.
Beautiful Brother Derek, thank you. Truly, the focus of the Holy Spirit, as we've seen even with Jesus, turning the people from the external to the internal to the eternal. Things that people are so comfortable in the external works, the external religion. God's dealing with us. Isn't it interesting, Brother Derek? Again, I go back to God dealing with a prophet. And the last things that I keep going back to from what He told Brother Vail those last 2 years, The first one was, I think it was after the storms were spoken in the end of 1963, it would have been in the first part of 64, where they were in the hotel and Brother Branham comes out of his room and he tells Brother Vail, "I have no more conscience of sin." He got to that place. Isn't that beautiful? What followed that, Brother Derek? What was his last one? "All of my thoughts are of God." There's that whole pattern coming in. His when the blood of Christ purged all of his consciousness, then that pretty soon his mind and everything. Can you imagine? "All of my thoughts are of God." Wouldn't you love to say that? We're going to. We're going to. These are beautiful, beautiful things. Thank you, brother. Who has a song for us? Mr. Karen, yes. There you go. Stand up with me, would you?
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would your evil the victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder working in the blood of the Lamb. Power, power, wonder working in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Brother Josh, would you come and close in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we do just want to bow our heads and our hearts and just ask that you would have your way in our lives, Lord, and that you would draw us and that we would come after you, Lord. I do pray that you would change our thinking, Lord, to thoughts of the heavenly, Lord, and that you would, that we would concentrate on the kingdom of God and your things, and that we would just be more heavenly minded. As we go, Lord, we just ask that you would walk with us this week and help us to shed your light all around. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
God bless you all.